Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Support and Kindness podcast with Greg and Rich. I'm Greg, and in the room today we have Rich. We also have a special guest joining us today. His name is Jay, you'll hear from in a little bit. Today is episode 6, and we're discussing medical gaslighting. And if you're unfamiliar with the term medical gaslighting, it's a form of psychological manipulation that occurs when a healthcare professional dismisses, invalidates or minimizes a patient's legitimate medical concerns. And that can lead to the patient doubting their own symptoms, experiencing anxiety or delays in seeking or avoiding the necessary medical care. It's quite an interesting topic, and it is a problem of our times, but it goes back in time. If you are part of a minority group, you are more likely to run into this than another person. Jay, do you want to introduce yourself and then we'll get the conversation going?
Sure thing. Hello, everyone out there. My name's Jay. I participate in groups with Greg and Rich 4 days a week and very constructive chats. I'm lucky to have these fellas. I've experienced a lot of diagnoses, misdiagnoses, pain. And so I've experienced a lot of this. Of course, I know it's worse for minorities, which I am not. But I've certainly had many experiences with it, so I look forward to discussing this topic.
Absolutely. Well, welcome aboard. Glad that you're here. Rich, what are your thoughts on this when we talk about medical gaslighting? What comes to mind for you?
I guess just thinking about my experiences trying to explain symptoms and appointments being rushed along, whether it's because of insurance, trying to speed appointments through, and doctors trying to see as many patients as they can because of their practice requirements now or whatever. But you get so little time with the doctor and you start to explain what's going on, and they just jump to a conclusion before you've really gone through your symptoms. They don't listen, they interrupt you, they diminish your symptoms before you've had an opportunity to really explain what you're experiencing. They jump to a conclusion.
Some of the common things that a provider might say, which could be a sign of gaslighting, they could say something is probably just stress, or you're a bit young to have that problem. You got a low tolerance to pain. It's in your head. Hopefully they don't say that, but it happens, right? Many people will just deal with it as a normal aging thing, or thinking that it's normal because of being dismissed by their provider. You might just need to lose weight, was another one you mentioned before we came on air. Jay, have you run into any of this personally?
Yes, I have. I've been in hospitals many a time. I have a problem with my stomach. I basically have a weak stomach and all the different small symptoms you can have. I have something called cyclical vomiting syndrome, and it took a long time for them to diagnose it. And they immediately went with assumptions because I was young. For instance, I was in a treatment center and I got taken to the hospital because of my vomiting episodes. And I get to the hospital and they just assume that it's my stomach thing. I tell them, no, I think there's really something wrong. It took a couple of days before I could even get them to do a CAT scan on me, CT scan. And when they did, they determined I had a bunch of hernias that had been there for months, if not years. So finally, I got the care I needed, but then I ran into problems at the end by having an extreme amount of pain and them saying that my pain tolerance is too high. And one of the best things I ever did inside the hospital to advocate for myself was to actually ask for a pain specialist, not a doctor that comes in and pops in and says, hello, how are you, and goes off that. This man sat down and said he understood where I was coming from because I had a problem with opiates in my past, that I had a high tolerance, and that he would take care of it. And he really did. It's one of the best things I ever did inside the hospital. Of course, I'm sure there's many more extreme cases, but this is just the one that stood out in my head.
That's a great example.
Thank you.
Something that while preparing for this, I was talking to some family members who work in medicine, and it really stood out to me. They had a practice through the 80s to 2013, and what they experienced was the way insurance became really predatory in medicine in America, in the United States, and ensuring profitability placed constraints on physicians and hospitals, with insurance constantly trying to get the physicians being limited to the tests that they can run.
Well, physicians are dictated to how long they can see their patients for and under what circumstances, as well as the order, you know, ordering the tests. And that can play a role as well. It's almost if you fall outside a certain medication, you know, medical diagnosis criteria, and something that requires a little bit longer time spent on, you might be kind of out of luck. You may not get the cheese that day, right?
Right. You have limited time to talk to your doctor. You talk to him through MyChart or through, you know, some type of electronic media. You don't have a lot of time to communicate with him. And then you want, like Jay was saying, you want a CT scan or some type of diagnostic testing, and the insurance company is telling the doctor no, and you're telling the doctor your symptoms. I wonder what the pressure. I talked to a medical professional family member of mine, and they really started to feel stuck in the middle between patient and insurance company as insurance crept in over the last 40 years while they were practicing. I don't think all medical gaslighting is strictly because of provider. I think a lot of it now is becoming more and more common in the medical community as a result of insurance companies putting pressure on physicians and hospitals to cut down costs and balance patient care to keep it financially profitable. And that's a terrible thing when you put profit over patient outcomes.
It is, but they've got to put bread on the table at the same time, don't they? So whether we like it or not, whether certainly it's our model of healthcare in this country, where it's, you know, an incentive more so because of the insurance companies are more involved than, you know, some countries with, say, socialized medicine like the UK. There's, you know, good and bad stories from both, right? But certainly there's a disparity in the care. But I wonder, one of the things that we talk about a lot, and that everyone is discussing it, we can't get away from it, and that's AI. And I wonder how that is going to creep into and affect this. Could it be a good thing or a bad thing in medical diagnosing with AI? You know, the physician's not going to be replaced, but over the years, they've become more and more reliant upon technology for diagnosis. Could this be a good thing? Could it lead to people not being overlooked, or could it just lead to more people being crammed in an hour? What do you guys think?
I'd have to say, in certain instances, I think it would definitely help. I think there's other instances where it wouldn't, but especially with mine, I had this stomach illness, and they went through every type of illness that they could think of before they finally got it right. They pulled my gallbladder, even though the gallbladder was healthy and was now outside of my body. So there was many misdiagnoses. But I think if we had an AI, it may be able to search all those symptoms and shorten that time that it took for me to get diagnosed. I was also very lucky that I was under the age of 26, and you could be on your parents' insurance then, which is usually a lot better insurance company than now being on Medicare, Medicaid. So I got a lot more attention back then, but that's completely unfair. Why, when you turn 26, are you discarded almost? So I think AI could be good in diagnosing, but I think it could also be good at misdiagnosing too. Right. So it has its ups and downs.
Rich, you any thoughts on that AI aspect of it and how that might pertain to gaslighting, you know, good thing, bad thing?
I certainly think that you'd have some upset doctors. I can just imagine the feeling of a doctor who is $1 million in debt for student loans and med school and all that, and you come in and tell them that your ChatGPT search tells them what is wrong with you and you're not even listening to I can just imagine how they take it when you walk into their office and tell them that you've done their job for them. You just need the prescription or something.
Yeah, I'm sure that would go down like a house on fire. I was thinking perhaps more of from the flip side of maybe if this was coming to us from the medical field, being brought in by physicians' practices, automated diagnosing.
Well, it does come down to a computer can't feel. A computer can't understand the emotional effect. All it can understand is what it's been told and what it researched on the internet. It can't feel what you're feeling on the inside.
Right.
That's
I mean,
fantastic.
the double-edged sword, isn't it? I can certainly see some, I mean, for diagnosis and far as like noticing things on diagrams, for example, noticing masses and things like that. I think that they've proven that those can be detected more accurately, more consistently than some things with the human eye. So this is going to have its place, you know, and certainly does have its place. Rich, have you had a personal experience with gaslighting?
With TBI and my brain injury, I've received quite a bit of long-term care from my neurologists and brain support team that over time has become very helpful. At first, it was very, very dismissive as to what was wrong with me. And I was just a 19 or 20-year-old kid, and the research behind head injuries and traumatic brain injuries and long-term effects of repeated blows to the head was not anywhere near what it is 25, 30 years later. I definitely was my best advocate, and I had to be persistent in my appointments. I had to continually advocate for myself, and bringing somebody else along helps. Bringing a journal helped. Journaling my symptoms would help going into appointments. Another thing that I found that helped over time was being concise so they had less to challenge. The more I dribbled on, the more they had to attack.
Right. I think trying to use clear and specific language about the symptoms and asking direct questions, you know, what else could be causing this as well. They're all great things that you'd mentioned. Personally, I'm dealing with something at the moment. I'm chronically fatigued, and it's really taken over my life in a horrible way. Some days I'll go to bed at, you know, 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and maybe I'll get
Oh,
up for a
man.
couple of hours and go back to bed again. And at first I thought it was a dosage adjustment to one of my ADHD medicines. I don't believe that to be
Yeah, I
the case.
remember that.
It's been too long. I just got some lab results, and you know, took a while to get those back, and finally they released them. There's a couple of numbers which are low, and I asked the receptionist, so where do we go now? Now that I've got the tests, do I need an appointment to come in and discuss these? And she said, no, you don't need an appointment. I've just discussed them with you. And I said, so what's the next steps in where do we go finding out what's causing this fatigue? Because I can't live like this. It's not working for me. And she said, well, you can discuss that at your next follow-up. And I said, but that's a couple of months away, you know, that's a few months away. So that's something that I'm dealing with personally. And you gave some great pointers on things that you can do. And I like the idea of taking an advocate, and maybe to my next appointment. I've just got Jay nodding, and Jay's one of these guys. He's an awesome guy. He'll volunteer to help anyone. He'll give you the shirt off his back. Don't write in and ask him for it, because he might prove me wrong. But Jay's the kind of guy that'd take you to an appointment and help advocate for you. Really sound guy. As so is Rich as well. I'm fortunate to know them both. And besides using that clear and specific language and asking questions afterwards the appointment, right? There's some things that we can do. They say second opinion, right? If you feel dismissed, you can always ask about a second opinion. Consider filing a complaint. You know, if it gets to that point and you're not being heard, there is recourses in that way. Practicing self-care to process the emotional impact, because there's a huge emotional side to this as well, you know, because they're questioning your sanity. You can think you're going crazy, and there is a disparity in age groups. And then connecting with the patient advocacy group to help support you as well. Any other thoughts on this, gentlemen?
I just want to say, for one thing, what always helped me when I went in a doctor's office is you're going to go some months before you have your next appointment. And what I like to do is write down specific questions, even if it's small things,
Absolutely.
which can lead to something bigger that you're not aware of. I wasn't aware of the patient advocacy groups. That's something that I think could help a lot. I actually, and this is a little embarrassing for my age, but I take my mom with me to certain appointments because I too have had a brain injury and I worry that I'm not going to ask the right things. And sometimes I catch myself when a doctor comes in the room, they ask me how I'm doing, and I say, oh, I'm doing great. on accident because I'm so used to being in a conversation where you just say, oh yeah, I'm great. So I tend to skip over things, but I think it's great having somebody there with you. They can see the symptoms a lot better than you can. And they're generally in the room with you if you're in a hospital or something like that. And like we've mentioned before, the doctor is in your room maybe 3 minutes out of each day that you're at the hospital. That's 3 minutes out of 24 hours. And yeah, you got some nurses coming in and out, but I'd say you're watched a fraction of the day. So having someone else there to watch for you and explain that to the doctor and explain your circumstances too, explain what illnesses you've had in the past and things like that, I think that's a great idea.
Right. And that, could be another, not staying with the same provider for too long. If you're not getting anywhere, you're not being cared for. But conversely, if you've got good care, not jumping around, some people use the emergency room almost as a doctor's office, right? And that's not necessarily
primary care.
Yeah, that's exactly. And so, there's those things as well. But a statistic that really stood out to me, and that's Black women are 3 times more likely to have complications and death in childbirth because of medical malpractice. And, that just highlights the seriousness of the situation. That's just one statistic. It just shocked me. But yeah, some great advice, gentlemen. Any other thoughts or tips before we leave it here?
Just the thing that you mentioned about the women with their pregnancy issues. There are so many tests done for men, and we are not the complex one. There's so many more things that can go wrong in childbirth than can go with a man. And they're more worried about getting chewable Viagra for men than they are diagnosing women in their pregnancy. So it's definitely an unfair system.
Yeah, your sexual orientation and that as well can be biased sometimes. But yeah, it's a serious issue. And if you're feeling unheard, take someone with you. Like Jay said, write some things down like Richard mentioned before your appointment. All some great tips and advice. And these will be in the show notes. If anyone's got anything else, we'll wrap up for the day. But I've really enjoyed the conversation. Rich, thank you very much indeed. Jay, thank you. Let us know about you. Have you ever experienced medical gaslighting yourself, or do you know someone that has? And what was the outcome? I'd love to hear that. Let us know. Visit us at kindnessrx.org, and that's in the show notes. That's kindnessrx.org. In the meantime, come back again next week. If you've got a topic that you'd like us to discuss, let us know that as well. Be safe and have a wonderful rest of the week, and let's build a kinder world together.